I am Pierre Lumumba here at the Central Business District in Nairobi County in the Republic of Kenya in our mother continent of Africa. We continue our discussions regarding the mother continent. And today we focus on a conflict which does not receive the attention that it deserves. The conflict in Darfur, and by extension, the conflict in Sudan. A little historical context is necessary so that we are better able to appreciate what we are dealing with now. Sudan regained our independence in 1956. At that time, the Egyptians and the English were in control. And Sudan was divided in a very interesting way. The northern part of Sudan was always described as Islam and Arab, while the southern part was described as Christian and animist. The relationship at the very outset were disturbed, leading to the southerners demanding independence. I remember as a young man in the 1990s when the SPLM, led by John Garang Dimabior, started, and even earlier, Anyanya 1, Anyanya 2. And I must declare that I had the honor and privilege of serving as an intern with John Garang Dimabior. And Garang Dimabior said, even before the split between the north and the south, that they did not want to divide Sudan. Of course, in the year 2011, South Sudan became independent and Sudan remained what we now know as Sudan. Something then started happening. The attempt at Arabization and Islamization of the population. And this in itself created resentment in different parts of Sudan, particularly in Darfur. And Darfur is the land of the Fur ethnic group. The other major ethnic group in that place are the Zagawa. And during the administration of President Omar al-Bashir, what he did when the Fur were complaining was to deploy a group of Arab pastoralists called the Janjaweed. And it's important to know what Janjaweed means. Janjaweed means devils on horseback, or spirits on horseback. The Janjaweed went into Darfur and raped men, raped women, burnt houses, until the international community came in and said that these were crimes against humanity, and the International Criminal Court at The Hague indicted President Omar al-Bashir. In 2019, there was a stabilization, and ultimately Omar al-Bashir was eliminated or removed from power, and President Burhan came into power, and another figure also emerged, Hemeti. Hemeti was the leader of the Janjaweed, and of course, we had the riots of the middle class, and there was a transition, and a good friend of mine became the Prime Minister Hamdok. He too was removed, and we now have President Burhan. And what has happened is that there is a total breakdown of peace in Sudan. This is what has led to the war that we now see, that now envelops the entire Sudan. It is also to be remembered that what was Janjaweed became formal as the Rapid Forces, which is now headed by Hemeti. What is happening in Darfur now is devastating. The Rapid Response Forces have occupied Darfur. The government in Khartoum has been devastated. We now have external players. Not so long ago, we had that British arms were found in Darfur. The United Arab Emirates are said to be present in that space. The Egyptians are also said to be present in the entire Sudan. So Darfur has become a center for human devastation. In fact, it is now recorded that never in the history of independent Africa have so many been displaced within such a short time, with the population of Darfur completely disrupted, 3.5 million in Chad, and others to be found in South Sudan, others to be found in Central African Republic, others to be found in the Democratic Republic of Congo, others to be found as far as Ethiopia, others to be found in Egypt. The war, it is said, has come about as a result of a number of things. One of them is attempt at Arabization of the population. The second thing is Islamization of the population. The third thing is resource-based. The mining that is going on in those areas and therefore funding the populations in that area is of such a nature that people have been attracted to that area, and the populations are being dislocated because of the combination of all these factors. We must also remember that the ideology of the Janjaweed, or the devils on the horseback, was to ensure that the entire population in that area is Islamized and Arabized, which is unfortunate because it puts Islam in a very bad space as an Arabizing religion, which classical Islam is possibly not. But we now have a situation where there is no life. Darfur is in the dark ages. You only have to see the damage. Children have not been vaccinated for the last 2 years. We are now told that there are unexploded ordinances in that area. We now know that water is polluted in that area. We now know that diseases such as polio are back with a bang. We now know that populations are being displaced. We also know that children have not been going to school for the last 2 years. And we know that the conflict is acquiring a totally different character. We know that people are participating in that conflict who are mercenaries recruited as far as Mauritania. And we also know that as a result of the conflict in Darfur, modern-day slavery is back with a bang. Young men and women are being recruited to be taken to brothels in Libya. We also know that young men are being recruited to fight in different insurgent groups, such as in Boko Haram, in Nigeria, in order to survive. We also know that they are being recruited to fight in places as far as Gaza. So we have a situation in Darfur which is as devastating as devastation can be, which then begs the question, what is the world doing about it? The world is doing nothing. The media does not talk about Darfur. The African Union does not talk about Darfur. ECOWAS does not talk about Darfur. SADC does not talk about Darfur. Africa does not talk about Darfur. And we are aware that there are elements within African governments that are actually supporting the RSF. So we have a situation in Africa which the world has ignored. In fact, many commentators are saying and talking about the battle in Darfur and in Sudan as the forgotten war. You look at media houses, nobody mentions Darfur. You look at the news, nobody talks about Darfur. You look at the kind of mining that is going, the resources that are being taken out, and nobody talks about it. And even if you leave Darfur a little and talk a little about Sudan, we are told how some of the most iconic museums in Khartoum have been raided and artifacts are being found as far as South America and as far as certain places in Europe and, of course, in Asia. This is the devastation, so that the legacy that one would have expected of the leaders in Sudan is totally undermined. The poor people, their population has been reduced by as much as 30%. That is what we have in Darfur. That is what is happening in Sudan. And that is what the world is ignoring. But perhaps the world can ignore it. But can Africa afford the luxury of ignoring Sudan? The clarion call is, let us wake up. In fact, some of us have said that there is need for an emergency meeting of the African Union heads of states and government, focusing only on the situation in Sudan and the devastation in Darfur, so that we are able to resolve the situation. Many humanitarian organizations that were present there have left. Médecins Sans Frontières said they are no longer operating in that area. The UN agencies are not there. The African agencies are not there. So the clarion call, the world, there is something dangerous that is happening in Darfur. The Fur people are being decimated. The Zagawa people are being decimated. Sudan is being decimated. It will take generations to restore them where they are. The refugees are suffering. The world must wake up. Africa must wake up. And I pray and hope that they will wake up and something will be done about Darfur and Sudan. Ladies and gentlemen, our continent of Africa is a continent that gives birth to many things. We have discussed many things. We'll continue to interrogate many things. But let us take a break to see you next time. Thank you and be blessed. Thank you very much.